gentlemen, Shavua Tov and a Chodesh Tov. We should have a good month of Besoros Tovos at this very hard time for the Jewish people. I was listening this morning to someone talking about, the issues that come up after terrible tragedies. We go back to talk about normal issues here in Israel. So one of the issues that are on the table right now is, of course, Ben Ashar, also the draft into the army of yeshiva students. I personally know no heter in the world, in halacha or beyond, of not drafting yeshiva students into the army for a milchemet mitzvah. A milchemet mitzvah is defined as a war that you have to wage because you have no choice. And at this point, Israel is not going out to war because they feel like it, or to make Israel bigger, but because there is no choice. And therefore, I don't see any heter. But he was talking about how great Talmud Torah is and how important Talmud Torah is, and therefore Talmud Torah should stump everything. I told him, quite frankly, doing my version of the Torah, I never saw that Talmud Torah stumps everything. As a matter of fact, if there's a mitzvah over it, if there's a mitzvah that right now you can do and you can't do in a few hours, like Megillah reading at night of Purim or whatnot, and you're learning Torah, you stop learning Torah and you read the Megillah. And I really don't know any such heter. However, he did have a point, and we were dealing with this during the last few weeks, before the tragedy of last week, that there are different levels of mitzvot. And we said that this is true, of course, in negative commandments. How do we know that in negative commandments? Which is on a higher level or lower?
Based
on the punishment. And in the positive commandments, we even showed that we can also know, first and foremost. First and foremost. Before Chametz and Pesach. But no, you're right. First and foremost, before Chametz and Pesach, it's a Doraisa or the Rabbanan. Secondly, as Mr. Finkelstein pointed out, Mr. Weiser. No? Chametz and Pesach and Bris Milah, if you don't do the positive commandment, you get a punishment of kares. Usually you don't do a positive commandment, you're not a good person. I wouldn't give you maftir yayna and yom kippur, but you don't get a punishment. And that's what Mr. Weiser meant. And then we went further and we said that indeed there are certain commandments, even in the realm of positive commandments, that ultimately we could see that there are different dargot. In other words, Chazal came along and said, this is kashkula keneged korah Torah kula, and this is like you did all the mitzvot, etc. They say it about Tzitzis Eretz Yisrael. They say Chazal had a different attitude to certain mitzvot than others. And we'll just continue from where we left off.
There is an objection that there's a fire and another fire truck's coming. I suppose you don't have to jump in the building, you're not trained. So perhaps the head for some of the people says, listen, there's a professional army, and we're not in that professional army. They're not forcing us to be in the village. It's sort of like by choice. Although there is a mitzvah, since there's a clash of values, we'll let the professionals put out the fire, and we'll do whatever we do.
I don't understand your mushroom. I thought that the army
says, listen, we have slots for 40,000 people, whatever the number is.
Yeah.
We want a professional, not a lot of schleppers or whatever.
Okay, now I understand. I'm not going to deal this morning with the army and the draft and what should be. The bottom line, the devil's advocate, we'll deal with maybe some other time. Let's go back to this. Okay, professional army versus a draft. Gentlemen, there is a Gemara in Makos, page 23b, that has a very interesting analogy. It says that in the biblical commandments of the Torah, we have how many? 613. Is there a machlokas in that Gemara? How many mitzvot of the Torah there are?
No.
No? It is a miracle of all miracles that there is no machlokas on this issue. This Taryag mitzvot. No machlokas. Everybody agrees there are 613 biblical commandments. Some are negative, some are positive.
Some make it 620.
Who?
No.
Everybody agrees that there's Taryag. Oh, we're going to get to what Mr. Weiser said in a moment. Everybody agrees to it, and the Gemara goes ahead and says it's a very easy way to remember it. Ramach and Chasa. There are Shin, Samech, Hey. 365 negative commandments, and there are Ramach, 248 positive commandments, within the realm of biblical commandments, and that's like the fibers of your being. When you make a mishaberech for a cholah, sometimes in the mishaberech it says l'shasa gidav ramach evarav. So amazing! There's never been a machlokas on that issue. The only machlokas is, as Bruce points out, is who's included over there. And now the Rambam has his count, and the Sefer HaMitzvot has his count, and they disagree with, and the Baal Halachot Gedolot has his count, and they all have to disagree. And I always said, when you make an invitation list for a simcha, first you write down all the names, and then you put a number, and then you see the grand total, and then you get a heart attack. When you do the Sefer HaMitzvot, you do the opposite. First you put the sum total, because there's no machlokas, 613. And then you fill in the blanks, and then you're left over, or you have too many. So you got to start making up rules, what's included, what's not. So whoever read the Rambam opens up the first page of the Rambam has a Sefer HaMitzvot, and the Rambam has to explain what's included, what's not, what are my rules and regulations, because hey, I got a list, I got a six, stick to 613, I got 613 seats, that's it. Now, what I wanted to say this morning is that because the Gemara equates the amount of mitzvot to the fibers of your being, Ramach and Shasa, says Rav Amital on page 51 in the book, that proves that according to Chazal, not every mitzvah is equal to the other mitzvah. Because not every fiber of your being is as important as another. The brain, the heart, is not on the same level than a toenail. So the guy's limping, and you say, why are you limping? I have an ingrown toenail. All right, an ingrown toenail. These things happen.
It's very painful.
It's painful. It's not easy. It's difficult. But an ingrown toenail is an ingrown toenail. It is not a heart attack. It is not a stroke. An ingrown toenail is an ingrown toenail.
Not life-threatening.
It is not life-threatening. Absolutely. A person has a headache, sits down, lays down, 2 hours, gives him a shot of caffeine, he's better. A headache is a headache. A headache is not on the same level as having a high fever and having strep. So ultimately, what's interesting is, says Rav Amital, if the Chazal went ahead and equated it to the fibers of your being, then ultimately it's a dead giveaway that they're not on the same level. And when you make them on the same level, then you're going against what the Torah wants. And I want to mention something this morning that I believe is extremely important. If Chazal came along and said, Chayavim anu lizaher b'mitzvat tzedakah yoter mikol mitzvat asei, excuse me, the Rambam says that, that of all the mitzvot, you got to be very careful with the mitzvah of tzedakah. Sha'tzedakah siman tzadik zera Avraham avinu, because if you give tzedakah, it shows you're part of the beautiful family of Avraham Avinu, because Avraham Avinu was so generous and gave tzedakah, that shows that indeed you're part of their family. Ve'en kisei Yisrael mitkaven v'dat ha'emet omed elo b'tzedakah. The only way you're going to have redemption and the world's going to be a better place, ve'en Yisrael nigalin elo b'tzedakah, you need to have tzedakah. And I've said many times, tzedakah doesn't mean charity. Out of the goodness of your heart, you go along and you give money. But tzedakah comes from the word tzedek, which means what?
Justice.
You have to give tzedakah. It's not that you could. You have to give tzedakah. So, you know, the Rambam goes out of his way about tzedakah. We're coming up to Chanukah. We're entering the month of Kislev. The Rambam says, mitzvat ner Chanukah, mitzvah chavivahi ad me'od. And you have to go out of your way to get enough money, even if you're poor, to have enough money for the Chanukah candles. You see, Chazal put great chashivut into these mitzvot. So from our perspective, going back to the analogy, Chazal was saying, this mitzvah is like the kidneys, and this mitzvah is like the heart, and this mitzvah is like the toenail. And you have to have it in mind. Why do you have to have it in mind? Because sometimes when you start going ahead and not having it in mind, damage is done. And what is the biggest story you know in Tanakh where damage was done? Where a person came along and said, hey, this is on the same level as this. And because of that, damage was done. No. What did God say at the beginning of the Chumash?
And the cattle that he, and keeping Amalek alive and showing mercy or whatever, and keeping the
yeah, but there, you're right, there, but Shaul HaMelech, who didn't kill all of Amalek, he actually went ahead and violated a commandment.
Right, but they kept the animals, which because they said they wanted to offer him as...
Right. They violated the commandment. But that was a violation of the Isser in the Torah of taking cattle. I'm talking about a situation where you went ahead and you said that, let's say, an Isser Derabanan is on the same level as a Doraisa, and because of that, damage was done. No? I'll give you a hint. It's at the beginning of the Chumash. Chava! No? Tell me the story. What did God say to Chava? Biblical commandment. Mitzvah d'oraisa. Don't eat from the Eitz Hadad. Correct? Umi Eitz Hadad asher betoch Hadan lo tochlu mimena. That's what God said. Don't eat. Now, wait a minute. Don't eat.
Don't touch.
Can you touch it?
Yes.
Of course you can touch it. This, by the way, is very important. When you teach kids... I'll say in parentheses, when you teach kid about muktzah on Shabbos, you can't pick up muktzah. You can touch muktzah. You can touch the pen, the raw potato. You know how to pick it up. Okay? So God said, don't eat from the tree. When the nachash came along, the snake came along and started to cajole Chava to eat, what did the Chava say?
I was told not to touch it.
I was called, lo tochlu mimenu ve lo teguvo. I was told. Who did she say it in the name of? Of God. What does Chazal say on that particular pasuk? Exactly there, Bereshit Rabbah. It's quoted, requoted. I'll read it to you. Al tosif al dvarav pen yochiach becha v'nichzavta. Says in Mishle, don't add to the words of God, because God will reprimand you, and ultimately, something bad's going to happen.
So if she would have said, Adam told me, he spoke like a gezerah.
You got it. She would have said, God said not to eat from it. Me and Adam, we made a gzera de Rabbanan. You know, there's no other rabbi, so we're the Rabbanan here. Not to eat, not to touch it too. So then, when she touched the tree and nothing happened, she said, of course nothing happened. God didn't tell us not to touch it. We made that up. But she didn't. She made the mitzvah de Rabbanan like a mitzvah de Horaisa. And we all know what happened afterwards. Chain reaction. Says Bereshis Rabbah, Shelo ta'aseta gader yotem min ha'arkar, pen shelo yipo v'yikatzetz ha'netiyot. And it gives the mashal of Chava. Chava goes ahead and takes a mitzvah d'rabbanan, puts it on a level of a mitzvah d'oraisa, and ultimately what happens? Damage. The Rashar here takes it a step further, but before the Rashar here, I just want to say that according to the Rambam, what Chava did is an Isser, the Oraisa of Baal Tosif. No more, no less. Now I got to add to the Torah. And part of adding to the Torah, according to the Rambam, is not just adding a fifth min to the four minim on Sukkos, adding another tzitzis to your tzitzis, adding a fifth bayit, or a third bayit to your tefillin. But saying what a mitzvah, that a mitzvah, the Rabbanan is a da Oraisa, is adding to the Torah. And says the Rashar here something beautiful. You have to go ahead and tell the kids when you teach them Chumash or when you teach them Mitzvot, what's the Horaisa, what's the Rabbanan. And if you don't do that, says the Rashar Hish, and I quote, Taviu tanu ha'avira lehem lavor gamo mitzvot Hashem. Hey, I saw the other day a Jew ask a non-Jew on Shabbos to put on the lights. And I thought it's a Doraisa, you know, I'm not asking a non-Jew to put on lights in Shabbos. So if he can do that, I guess I can drive my car. When you put everything on the same level, damage is done. And ultimately we see that the damage is done. So we have to be very careful not to go ahead and not to say that a Doraisa is really a Derabbanan and a Derabbanan is really Doraisa. You have to ultimately be very careful because you see a live example where damage was done. And I can give 10 more examples like this.
Like the Strimal
story.
If you wear that, then you might as well not keep the Torah.
Don't wear a Strimal, you might as well not keep the Torah. And that's why I think it's very, very important, not just in terms of good strategy, but as we see today, taking it a step further, it's actually forbidden. Chazal said what Chava did was terrible. The Rambam thinks it's Baal Tosif. And the Rashar Hirsch goes ahead and says what we said ultimately, that it's a bad strategy. But I'm saying forget about the strategic question. You have to go ahead and be careful to represent the Torah properly, because if not, you're doing an Avera of Baal Tosif. And that's terrible. Yeah.
We're going to say Roshua in a moment, but in say Roshua, Yeshua tells them not to take any booty. And later God punished them at Ai by killing 36 of them. So, and it says it's in because of the Buddha, as if God himself had put the ban on, when it was really only Yeshua. So there's confusion there on who put that ban on.
Which ban?
The ban not to take any booty from Eureka.
Yeah.
I thought it was really Yeshua doing that. Not because God told him to do that. He did it on his own.
It absolutely was Yeshua.
And yet God's going to punish them later at Ai for breaking the ban that Yeshua put on them.
No. God punishes the Jewish people at Ai not because of the ban that Yeshua put on them, but rather God punishes the Jewish people because a ban was put on. Yeshua had a right to put a ban on it. He's a Rabbanan. And there was a mitzvah of Arvus already that has started to work once they crossed over the Jordan. So in Masechet Sanhedrin, I believe, Taf Mem Dalet, the Gemara reprimands Yeshua and says, it's your fault that we lost an Ai. And the Maharsha, I believe, there explains, what do you mean it's his fault? He made a ban. It's like his Rebbe did. Didn't Moshe Rabbeinu make a ban? He made a ban when he fought against the Sichon and the Og and whatnot in Sefer Bamidbar. So I'm following in the footsteps of my Rebbe. So the Maharsha says, I'm paraphrasing the Maharsha, but just to wake everyone up, he said, you idiot! When your Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu put a ban on, there was no din of Arvus, there was no din of all Israel's guarantors to one another. So if this guy named Achan, who, by the way, violated every cherem according to our tradition, went ahead and violated it, he's going to rot in hell, but all the Jewish people are going to be okay. But you, Yeshua, you're functioning in the new reality. And in the new reality, you can't just say, no, I follow in the footsteps of my Rebbe. Your Rebbe functioned in a different reality. So it's not that God punished the Jewish people because of Yeshua. Yeshua made a ban. The ban is indeed intact. And I, Achan, went ahead and ate from and violated the ban. And therefore they lost. By the way, the Gemara reprimands Yeshua for it. Doesn't reprimand God. Doesn't say it's God's fault. No. Reprimands Yeshua.
When I grew up and learned, there's no difference between a bonum or the light.
I think it's very important today.
You see,
I think it's extremely important today to tell people what's rabbinic and what's biblical, and you have to know the mitzvah to the Torah, and you have to know the mitzvah to the Rabbanim, because if not, as you can see. The chinuch today, I don't know what was. I can tell you what I think should be.
Maybe a long time ago.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. But I think today, if we function today in a world of Google where people have the information at their fingertips, not only strategically is it the right thing to do, I'm saying forget about strategy. Pure, is it the right or wrong thing to do? The Rambam warns it's Baal Tosef. You have to call a spade a spade. This is a Doraisa and this is a Derabbanan.
And this is only a minhag?
And this is a minhag and this is my family minhag. And when you have your head screwed on straight, many, many, many nafkaminas come out. And as we could see, Chazal went out of their way and said what Chava did was awful, was terrible. She made a siyag derabbanan, and she didn't call it a derabbanan. She put it in the eyes of God. That's right. By the way, you're proving my point. It's exactly that. When the Gemara in Shabbos asks about Hanukkah candles, when you make a bracha, when the Gemara says, Hechan Sivanu, God didn't say to light Hanukkah candles, and it gives the answer, the premise of the Gemara is everything we said now. The premise is it's the Rabbanan. And because it's the Rabbanan, how come you made a bracha? After all, it's only the Rabbanan. And the Gemara gives its answer. But ultimately, the premise is true. The Rabbanan's the Rabbanan. We call the spade a spade. We're learning Torah properly and authentically. And now we have to deal with how come we make a bracha.